Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Overseas Connection, episode 117. Today is May 24th, 2011. We are the official podcast of the G4TE.com community that is gaming for the elderly. And I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law. Let's see, joining me this week, it's a sordid cast. Well, first off, Mr. Richard Primrose.
Yes, I'm back. Regular now. Doctor's given me the all clear, and I am now regular. So, yes.
It's good to be regular.
Skulduggera. Skulduggera on everything. OC underscore Skulduggera on Twitter.
Look at you, Mr. Official. And before we announce our other guest, and there is just one other guest, I figured we should do some housekeeping. Okay, so Mr. Christopher Matthew is not with us this week, but reports are he was hired by FedEx. He is tracking down UPS drivers in the greater New York area, and, well, he's been doing things to them. Yeah, basically, drivers have been warned, and his picture has been posted in their storefronts, and they're warned to basically run or contact authorities immediately if he is seen in the area, especially if carrying any fruits or vegetables. Dangerous, dangerous man. I don't know where I was going with that. Mr. Mike Chin, also not with us this week. His actually is a much easier story to tell. Mr. Primrose, you first broke all of this business with Mike way back when, so maybe we should have you kind of follow up on what's going on with Mike.
Yes, he's moved on to the next leg of his episodic specialized movies for the fetish porn industry. He's now moved the journey onto Spain, yeah. And he's filming a project called El Goto Conchita, which is some goat-on-girl action, apparently, that's going to be going off in the Spanish hills somewhere as we speak.
I'm kind of speechless on that one.
Back next week, though. I'm sure of it.
Let's hope he makes it back across the borders without incident. But we had to basically search far and wide for somebody that could, well, one, fill the big shoes, you know, left behind by Mr. Matthew in terms of a deep voice, you know, a kind of robust deep voice. But someone also knowledgeable, and given the fact that this week we were going to be doing some E3 coverage on Nintendo, I had to think of somebody that is just in love with Nintendo. And obviously, the first thought came to mind was none other than Mr. Steve Conger.
Hi, JSS Lifelike on basically every gaming service imaginable. So because I was not caught up in any vegetarian anal rape or goat voyeurism, I am here to talk a little Nintendo with you guys.
Wow. The whole vegetable thing still is rather disturbing.
Who's to say you can't have both in your life?
Wow, Rich, yeah. No, you certainly can. If you strive for that kind of success in life, then hey, go to the grocery, go to the vegetable section, and be a happy person. Look, so this week, you know, as we're marching forward towards E3, this week's coverage, we're covering Nintendo. And so that is going to come. We're actually going to cover that part of the show after our first show break. But in the meantime, we're going to dive into, you know, the news and what we've been playing and the new releases, of course, on the first half. And then we'll wrap it up with the deeper discussions and hopefully entertaining discussions as well. And you know, try not to be so boring, guys. That's all I got to say. All right. With that said and done, we're going to take a little time to talk about what we've been playing.
What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What have you been playing?
Okay. So first up for what we've been playing up. Well, Steve, you are the guest. I already know what you've been playing, but certainly I think some of the fans out there would like to hear what you've been playing because there's some good stuff on that list.
You guys are so gracious. You always let me go first. It's fantastic. Just real quick, I did want to say that I saw the Thor movie. Let me save you $9.50 for a ticket times how many ever people you have going. So Thor comes to Earth. Some stuff happens. There's a Burger King billboard. Some more stuff happens. There's a Southwest Airlines billboard. Some more stuff happens. And Natalie Portman is playing and fumbling with a box of Goline Crunch cereal. Then some more stuff happens. And two guys are standing on top of a building eating a Whopper and drinking a coffee from Burger King. And then some more stuff happens, and a 7-Eleven blows up, and then some more stuff happens, and the movie's over.
You know what, Steve? Okay. I just want to point something out. And you know what? I get product placement can be annoying, but, I mean, it's part of our lives. Come on.
I mean, when
you drive to work, how many billboards do you drive by? How many fucking 7-Elevens are on every street corner in America?
Okay, but here's my counter argument to that. If all that shit's going to be in there, why do I have to pay $9.50 to go sit there and watch it?
Because 7-Elevens don't blow up on your street corner every day.
Yeah, but
I mean, if they blew up on your street corner every day, then hey, you don't need to spend the $9.50. But I mean, that's kind of a special occasion.
Well, I mean, it's almost my same argument with tons of previews in the beginning of a movie. I don't pay money to go see previews. I realize that they won't cross
market. Whoa, hold the phone. Steve, that is the best part of going to the movies.
Sometimes. It depends on what the subject matter is.
Well, yeah, if you're going to see the Nancy Pansy chick flick, I get that the previews are going to be a little boring. But when you go to see Thor, you get, you know, Green Lantern, you're going to see, you know, Captain America, you're going to see some good stuff.
And that's the only time I dig it.
Okay.
That's the only time I dig it, is when it's genre specific and it's stuff that I'm into, you know? But I don't know,
have
man.
Have you been seeing a lot of chick flicks lately?
No. And I try to avoid those every turn if I can. But I don't know. We're starting to live in a world now with a free version, like a light version, and a pay version. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like that's just the way society's going now. And I hate to see all of this product placement. And I realize, don't get me wrong, Thor is a good movie and relatively accurate. But at the same time, you know me, I pick up on all this crap and it annoys me.
Okay, but Rich, maybe you can jump in here too. I mean, for me at least, whenever I pick up a soda can, it is logo out towards the camera every time.
We don't get as much of it. You know when the show was American Idol,
we get
that over here, and I think that must have a big Coca-Cola type product placement on
yes.
it. Yes. Well, every time that comes on telly over here, they fuzzy wuzzy the Coke logo out because they're not allowed to do it.
Wow!
But really?
It's getting streamed in now. Though they're starting to bring it in, but they've got to advertise the fact that they're going to place a product in the program before they start putting it on.
Ma'am, so. here's your conspiracy theory, by the way, for American Idol, is that James, the recent vote off E, if you will, he did a Pepsi snafu where he said, I don't want to have a Pepsi moment. And they completely like freaked out over it and were correcting him and saying, we're sponsored by Diet Coke. And so they probably just totally doctored the votes and killed him off just because of that.
When that guy got axed, man, was he pissed.
I can tell you, most of California was pissed. I don't know about the rest of this stupid nation, but yeah. Anyway, so now that we've covered the movies.
Yeah, so that's just a small rant, okay? But anyway, it is a good movie, and don't even think twice about spending your money to go see it. It's just kind of annoying, and I annoyed the hell out of my wife as I was pointing everything out through the whole movie.
Okay, now I would like to point out, I actually liked the movie. I thought it was very worthwhile seeing in the theaters. I don't think it's worthwhile seeing in 3D. But
no, I
didn't
see it in 3D
either. As far as a big action movie, yeah, it was fun. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it has me excited for obviously the Avengers collaboration and things like that, and especially because it's Joss Whedon doing the Avengers movie. I'm really excited.
Yeah, but, and it's become a staple, by the way. If you do go see that movie, sit through all the credits because
yes.
it is a little something at the end. Yes. And that's become like common now for all the movies. In fact, when it doesn't happen, I'm pissed because I sat through credits for no stupid reason.
Well, you know, like 9/10 of the theater that we were in left. And I'm like, really? Are you kidding me? I don't know. But
anyway, sorry.
Anyway, back to it. Fallout New Vegas, I've been having a blast with it. It was exactly what the doctor ordered with the PlayStation Network down.
Okay.
Really, really good time. It's a nice little game now. Finished Portal 2 the other night, actually, so I could sign in to Steam and get my Steam achievements and my trophies at the same time. Yeah, it is brilliant. You guys have covered that.
We have covered it quite extensively, but yes.
Yeah. Loving, and this is the one that I probably didn't think was going to get covered on your show, and this is probably kind of out of left field, and I don't know how many people are going to be interested, but loving The Witcher 2.
Yeah, this is a game that, you know, I mean, given the fact that a lot of us are console gamers, we don't necessarily have it on our radar, but I know that there were plans to bring this to the PS3 and the 360, so, you know, it's something that should be on our radars loosely, and yes. It's been getting rave reviews from the PC side. Tell us a little bit about the game.
Okay, so first off, the first thing, I mean, what's the first thing that we always see, you know, recognize about a game? It's visual look, its appearance.
No. Yeah.
This game is gorgeous. Gorgeous. I mean, of course, it could be partly, in fact, you know, to coming, you know, directly from a console. And, you know, this is really the first game that that is really pushed by newly, like, semi-beefed PC rig.
Yeah, that, and I got to say, that always concerns me a little bit from a console side of it. Like, when I hear about a PC game just being flat-out gorgeous, I always, and I know it's going to come to, say, like the 360 or the PS3, I get a little nervous. Like, is it really going to come across in all its entirety and goodness? Or are we going to get, you know, a hatchet job of a port? So there is that nervousness there for this game when it comes console side.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, you can tell, and see what I do is I use a little program called Motion Enjoy. Injoy is what it's called. And it is called the DualShock 3 application. And what it'll do is it'll take your PS3 controller and emulate it into an Xbox 360 controller that can then be recognized by various software. So
why would you want to play with a PS3 controller?
Oh, because it's nice. I actually don't own a wired 360 controller, or I would use that. But this kind of saves me a little bit of cash. You know,
sure. No. Saving cash
and
is good.
It plays wonderfully with a controller. It is literally built for a controller. I tried to play it with a keyboard and mouse, and it is just not as rewarding at all.
Okay.
And swinging the camera around Geralt with one of the dual analog sticks, the motion blur, it works so well, and Geralt stays in complete focus, you know, the whole time. It is wonderful. I am so impressed with this game. I was really looking forward to it anyway, so I'm kind of biased, you know, to begin with. But the voiceover work is so much improved over the original. The combat is brutal, but it's really rewarding once you figure it out. So okay. If you're someone that's playing this, and Greg, this is probably – I think this game is right up your alley. It seems like it's going to be for the people who Dragon Age 2 was just not quite enough for.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So has it got like RPG elements in it? Because I thought it was like a –
yeah,
Avengers
it is
top.
Basically an RPG, but it's more it's
action-y?
An action RPG. It is action-y. It is third-person character action RPG, pretty much.
I mean, isn't that kind of, I mean, not to, I mean, you know, derail the conversation, but I mean, isn't action RPG become kind of the new staple for RPGs?
Yeah.
I think it's pretty hard to find true, like, turn-based RPGs anymore.
Which that saddens my heart anyway, but that's a completely different story.
Yeah.
But the combat sort of kind of likens a bit to Demon Souls, maybe a little bit, in my opinion. Like, it's really difficult. But once you figure out that you're not playing Dragon Age 2, and you don't play it to hack and slash. You go in, you start with all the runic signs, spells that you collect during the first game, and you can actually go in on the fly and switch through them and use them in the beginning of the game. And, you know, like, when you figure out that you can throw grenades, like gas grenades or things like that, and then shoot a fire spell and set the gas on fire around enemies and things like that.
That's
that
cool.
is when it starts to get really cool, you know? When I figured out, and maybe another tip for people that maybe don't know so far, and maybe you're having a little bit of trouble, is that you have two swords. You have a steel sword for human enemies, and your silver sword is for monsters. So they don't really do a good job, and that's one of the problems that I have with it, of telling you, you know, tutorial-wise, how to play this game. And they just automatically assume that you're steeped in the lore already, and not a lot of people are, I don't think.
Okay. Interesting.
So, you know, but the UI is like leaps and bounds better than the first one. But like I said, it really doesn't present the tutorial too well. It really didn't do that in the first one. But the story kind of opens with the epilogue, and you're kind of thrown into playing things in flashback, sort of the way Varric told his story in Dragon Age 2. So it's kind of similar, you know.
Okay. Now, let me ask you probably the most important question that should be on really everybody's mind. I mean, I get the controls are good, and I get that you know, graphically, it's phenomenal. The story is there, but let's talk about nudity.
Oh, right off the bat. Right off the bat, okay? You can import saves like BioWare, you know, like a BioWare game. Now, I didn't. I just used the default beginning, which is, you know, a romance with Triss Marigold and I think maybe a neutral alignment or something like that. And, yeah, after about, like, 3 minutes, man, Triss is butt naked. And it is incredible. And that's just something that you won't get anywhere else, kind of.
Has he got naked goats?
No, thank God.
Aren't goats by nature, I mean, just by default naked?
No, unless they're hairless. I mean,
well, I mean, but do we count hair as, I mean, because, I mean, I could walk outside without any clothes on, but I've got my hair. I mean, does that mean I'm not naked?
Has it got a gruff muff?
Yeah, right. there is crotch and there is chesticles right in the very beginning of the game, so it's pretty impressive. I'm really digging it.
Chesticles, I got to remember that one.
It is amazing so far. It seems like there are little tiny problems with it, but it seems to be. To me, and my power supply died like only 2 days into playing it, so I'm waiting to get my new power supply tomorrow. But it seems to be greater than the sum of its parts, I think.
Okay. So, Witcher 2, if you're a PC gamer at all, highly recommend. And if you're not a PC gamer and you have a rig that can handle it, maybe you look into it. If not, you're going to wait. Yeah.
It's definitely a PC game. Yeah.
Okay.
The only other thing that I've been playing other than that was L.A. Noire, but maybe you want to wait to talk about it whenever you're going through your stuff?
Yeah, why don't we'll finish up kind of in that thing with me, and we'll move over to Mr. Primrose, because he has a bunch of items on his list as well.
Yeah, I've just been recapping, really.
You have? One in particular kind of caught my eye.
Yeah, what was that? Halo?
Halo Reach, yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's like out of left field. I haven't seen you play Halo Reach in I don't know how long.
No, I went on another session the other night, and yeah, it's cool. It's good to get back into that.
I need to finish that yet.
They've got, yeah, I mean, I just jumped straight into the multiplayer again, but the way that Bungie are, you know how they're always improving.
Right.
I was quite surprised the amount of playlists they've got on there now. So, yeah, they've got a permanent zombie mode in there and everything. I jumped in and did a few big team battles, and yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, the sheer amount of gameplay Halo Reach gives players, I mean, to be honest, it dwarfs almost every other game out there. Just from the single player to the multiplayer to the co-op modes, I mean, you know, and then Forge. I mean, you can't forget, you know, the ability to just do to customize stuff. It is just, it's pretty incredible.
There is a lot of content there.
The great thing is as well, they've got the downloadable content that you can buy, but they are, and I noticed, there's always some generated Forge maps that are in rotation there anyway. So, yeah, there was a couple of new spaces to shoot people in, which was, yeah, good. Enjoyed it. Great stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah, did a bit of that. I went back to Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, because I've got to finish the story in that, and, yeah, put myself on a bit there. I find myself now, I'm getting over-interested in levelling up the assassins that you get in it.
So you're fully digging that kind of RPG element to it, of levelling up your crew.
Yeah. I mean, I just keep running to the pigeon coops and setting them up on missions and stuff, and, yeah.
You're the godfather of the pigeon coop?
Yeah, damn
right. I didn't think I was going to like that, but I really did.
Yeah, it's good. I was doing that. So I moved the story on a bit with that, but I think I'm still not even halfway there yet. So, yeah, that's going to be my one for June and July as well, I think, when the flow of games starts drying up. I had a blast on the magic puzzly thingy that Chris was on about last week, the Might and Magic Clash of Heroes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I started playing it, and it's, as Chris explained last week, it's a bit of a turn-based type thing.
Right.
Where there's a running story, which is, it's distinctly Japanese-y feel to it, as he said. I thought I wasn't going to like it, but as soon as I got the hang of the combat in it, it kept
kinda
me
won
out.
You over? Okay.
Yeah, I carried on playing it, and there's definitely the need to do a bit of grinding on it as well. There's certain battles that you can go into, and you're nowhere near leveled up enough, so you have to backpedal a bit, do a few more on the lower levels, and then go back when you've had a few upgrades and stuff. So they did a good job with the demo, definitely, because they give you quite a lot of control on it. So, yeah. Enjoyed it. I've not purchased it yet, but I think I may do. I like it. I might probably wait for it to go on offer. That's good. I also, on the recommendation of the VG boys, there was an indie game called Bird Assassin or something similar to that, where you have to go around shooting birds and stuff, and you get different guns and things like that. I wasn't as impressed with it. They were all infusing about it, but I didn't really like the control system on it. It was a bit basic. And they were I think they were saying that they thought it was one of the best indie games that they ever played, but,
It's a well-known fact. They actually get paid under the table by the indie developers to promote their games. Yeah. Right. They get paid in birdseed, actually.
Okay. I would say that, I made a game of zombies in it, although it is an often mentioned one, pisses all over it. But yeah, it was
take that VG Hub, veteran gamers.
As Stu says, you've got to take some positives out of it, and I would say the positives from it were that it did have very good comedy content in there, and it did make me giggle. But it wasn't for me.
No, I do have to applaud them. I really making fun of them a little bit, but I mean, veteran gamers, they are awesome about getting out there and taking a look at indie games and giving them a fair shake, even when they're bad. And, it's probably easier when they're good games. But, that's an important thing to be doing. We could probably do a little of that sometime, but honestly, no.
I did do a little bit of that.
Well, you do it. You do it. You're kind of our resident indie guy.
I did a lucky dip as well. I did a lucky dip, and I picked up, I thought, I'll go in and have a look at something that looks interesting, and I don't know if it's been covered before by anybody, but tried a game called Soul.
Soul, okay.
Yeah, don't know if anybody's heard of that. No? Anyway, downloaded it, didn't have any sort of idea what it was about, and yeah, the look of this game is really nice. Proper good graphical style. You know the dishwasher game that was out a few weeks ago on XBLA? It's got a similar sort of graphical style to that. I'd like to see what Gyros, I think, was the developer for it. If they've done anything else or if they've got anything forthcoming, I'd definitely keep my eye out for it because I do like the way that they've presented this and the look and feel of it is really good. The only thing it basically starts off with somebody flat out dead on the slab of a hospital, and it's got like a really gothic-y look to it, with sort of like a fear type graphical style to it. But you take on the part of the soul coming out of the body. And basically what you've got to do is guide this glowing soul through whatever screen it puts you through. So it just it turns into basically like a don't touch the sides maze game, but really interesting to look at. So that held me, the graphics held me, but the fact that it was such a simple concept, I lost interest within like two screens worth of it. But I would definitely like to see what these guys do in the future, because the style of it was really nice. So
was it an Xbox Live indie game or no?
Yeah, it was.
Now, how many wacky space tokens was it? Was it free?
I think it was only 80. It was 80. So
that's not too bad then.
Yeah, it's very good value. So yeah, it's worth checking out. But I think I'll keep an eye on the devs just to see what they do in the future.
Who did you say made it?
Gyros, I think it is. Okay. G-Y-R-O-S. Yeah, and that was about it for me. I did have a bit of a session last night on the old Black Ops. Tried to do a bit of Twitter roundup, some of the old guys I used to play with from G4TE, to do some search and destroy, hardcore search and destroy.
Okay.
Turned out because RT84's gate got blown down in the wind. it was just me and Cognito, but yeah, we had a few good games. We thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah, the old blobs come through.
Yeah, but we was talking, and I wouldn't mind doing it as well. We was on about doing a night where we go through, like from COD 4, stick it in, get Search and Destroy Hardcore on, and then you've got to win two rounds. After you've won two rounds, then you move over to Modern Warfare 2 or World at War as well, and then just go through all of the games up to blobs.
Okay, I'll just speak for myself. I don't have all those games. And I would be remiss if, I mean, how many people truly are going to have all those games still in their library?
I think you'd be surprised.
Man, probably.
I've kept every one of my CODs, and I know a lot of people that have got at least World at War and Modern Warfare 2.
You could call it Modern Warfare Generations Night. How about that?
Yeah, nice. Damn right. Yeah.
All
right. Okay.
Yeah, so that's it for me.
That's it? All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. For me, it was Brink on Friday night with the community. Friday night races were dead, and I had thought the inter-community championship was taking place on Friday night, but I was mistaken. That was not until Saturday. So stayed on with the guys, and we had a few rounds on Brink. And, you know, like I said before, the game is fun when you've got, you know, people and you're working as a team together. It absolutely is a fun game, but it still has its issues. And
did you get to play against people?
No, we actually just played a bunch of bot matches. And it's just because that game is just retardedly stupid about the way it set up its multiplayer and how to figure out, you know, basically figuring out how to open up a match to play against other humans is not the most obvious thing in the world. I know it's there in the settings, and you have to kind of go in through the I want to say it's the free play, and you get in through the free play, and then there's a setting to basically set it up as an online match with other players. But just nothing about the way they set this up is intuitive. And I'm holding out until that patch comes, but I have a feeling once that patch comes, this game may not stick around much longer.
Well, I mean, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, do you feel that the game is a couple patches away from being kind of special, or is it the complete opposite?
You know, that's the thing, is it's fun with people in the community. We had a blast, but as time goes on and the title gets less popular, you know, is it just going to be a coaster sitting in the corner, or is it truly going to be something that fun? You know, it's fun. You know, I have the same kind of issue with Homefront. I love playing that game and I play it often, but there's not too many people left in the community that have it. And so it's one of those things where I'm definitely curious to see. They've got a patch update in with Microsoft, so it's coming. I just don't know when. And supposedly they're going to be giving away free DLC just like Section 8. And, you know, I want to see that. But you know, how much longer after that do I hold on to the game? That's a good question. I think
so is this
Homefront,
a GameFly game or no? Or
no, these both are games I bought. I think Homefront has a better chance of sticking with me than Section 8 does. I will say that.
Or not Section 8, but Brink.
Sorry, Brink, yeah. Section 8 stick with me forever because I bought that. And I actually did play a little of that over the weekend. Just jumped into the campaign a little bit, just trying to finish that up so I just have it completed on the Chivo's listing.
Is it scratching the tribe's itch or no?
You know, not too much. I mean, it's a fun pick-up-and-play shooter, you know, but I have kind of three games, you know, Section 8 and Homefront in a lot of ways kind of offer up very similar feels in terms of big team battles and conquest type gameplay. Just one set in kind of more modern times and one set in a sci-fi setting. Other than that, you've got vehicle play in both. You've got 32 player dedicated server matches. I mean, you know, so from that standpoint, you know, kind of getting the same thing from both games, but I'm a sucker for a shooter, so hey, what the hell? did a little Forza 3 in the Inter-Community Championship. Did not go so well for me. I finished 8th and 7th in the races. Now, the first race, in my defense, good friend of the show, Mr. Betty Bear, he has a way of nudging you sometimes. He calls it nudging. We call it forcing you off the road. But needless to say, twice now, love you, Betty Bear, he has actually taken both Daniel and I out in races where he was on the opposite team.
From what I hear, he's tough, man.
He is. Yeah. He is tough. He is tough. He definitely is.
So how many racers were, you know, how many cars in each race?
So for the Inter-Community Challenge, we had four people from the lag community.
Okay.
And then we had four on the G4TE community.
So 8-man races, you came in 7th and 8th.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Thanks
yikes.
For pointing that out. Yeah.
Yikes. Well, I'm trying to have a better understanding.
Yeah.
And yeah, okay, I get it. I get
the
it.
Understanding was I didn't do too well. Thanks.
You need me back in these races just so I can push you up, push you up the rankings a bit.
We missed you, Skull. We missed you. But no, we had a lot of fun. It was definitely a good time. And you know, we're going to be kind of rotating through the racers list. We have about 8 different racers signed up for the championship from our side, and we're just going to kind of, I believe, rotating through on random kind of selection. So, anyway, last but not least, L.A. Noire. And I've been playing a lot of L.A. Noire. So I suppose, Steve, you know, we can jump into this. We're not going to do any spoiler conversations.
No, never.
We're going to talk game mechanic. We're going to talk, you know, overall presentation, but nothing to do with any of the cases. You know, really just kind of stick to the nuts and bolts of it. So first up, I love the game. I think it's a great game. Steve, I think we both are kind of echoing similar feelings for the game.
Yeah, I think the first thing that I really realized, you know, upon, you know, just starting it up and kind of seeing what the game had to offer was the aesthetic styling is just beautiful, man. It really drives home the effect of like the Parisian Art Deco movement of like the late 30s, you know, and the effect that it had on the rest of the world and how it spread out from Paris, you know.
I'm still stuck on Parisian.
Well, from Paris, you know, the Art Deco movement. I mean, you can really see an emphasis on them creating a 1940s Los Angeles with the symmetrical Art Deco type of stylings. And it's beautiful.
No, and I will say this. One of the cool things you can do in the game, which, Steve, I don't know if you've gone through and done or not, but I at least had a little bit of a go in black and white. You can change it over. And when you put it into a black and white setting, they actually change like the lighting and the way the game actually presents itself. And it felt just completely like you were participating in, you know, an old episode of Dragnet.
I will play this game in black and white.
Yeah.
Now, maybe you won't, because the reason I didn't do it is because the only places that you can go into are the ones with gold door handles. And when it's in black and white, you can't see the gold door handles.
A little tougher to see the gold door handles.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, it definitely is a nice touch, and it was one of those things where I did it, and I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. But for me, I've always been a fan of color, and so I switched it back over.
It's always nice to have the option, though.
It is nice to have
the
options.
Options there.
And like I said, it definitely gives the game an even more kind of authentic, you know, kind of, you know, noir vibe. But, I mean, outside of the graphics and outside of the presentation, which are all top-notch, the game, I think, it's funny, I had a very kind of love-hate-love feeling about this game.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started playing it, I was completely blown away. I was just absolutely enthralled, and it was like, this is game of the year for me, you know, at least in the running. And then, you know, we got into some of the interviewing and the questioning, and we started to see some of the kind of the holes or some of the more gamey aspects of, you know, L.A. Noire. And my kind of love for the game started to wane because I started getting a little frustrated. But then as I continued on and I learned exactly how the question and answering works, the game has absolutely started to skyrocket back up, and I think also a big part of that has been my progression into the story. As you get further into the case desks, the actual, you know, the murder mysteries, if you will, that you're going in and solving become bigger, become more epic, and become much more interesting in terms of trying to solve them.
They do get more complex.
Yes,
as
they absolutely get more complex.
Well, so. I think that I love this. I finally found a Rockstar game for me. Okay.
Right.
And the biggest thing is I don't have to drive. Thank God I don't have to drive. Okay. That's the one thing. Well, not the one thing that I hated about Grand Theft Auto. It goes a lot deeper than that. But, my problem there is the cars like turn on a dime and they seem almost like slot cars. Like they have a stick in the middle. And they're just following a track. Like, they're super, super sensitive. And you don't think that something with thick-ass white walls would be that responsive, you know?
And I didn't find them all that responsive. Like, I mean, they respond to your stick. But the problem is that I feel like they're very, you know, accurate to the time period because they're very boat-like in the way they move. I mean, you push out to the left and then try to come back in and slalom something, that car is going to, you know, fishtail like there's no tomorrow.
Well, I think maybe we're kind of describing the same thing as sort of because it feels like it's just on a pivot point in the center of the car and not the tires actually touching the ground, kind of.
Okay, well, I'll give you that.
You know? But and let me just say the AI partner, your driver, I don't know what kind of experience you're having, but this guy wrecks into everything. Like when he's talking and explaining things, he pulled literally right in front of a streetcar and wrecked into the streetcar. Yeah. And then he's like just stops and kind of backs up a little bit and keeps going and turns around.
So one thing to point out, and this is a difference from Grand Theft Auto. In Grand Theft Auto, you could, you know, like jump in and catch a cab, and then you kind of had the option of – you know, just sit and watch the entire journey and kind of watch everything go by, or you could speed ahead.
Yeah.
And in L.A. Noire, you get in, you know, as the passenger, he's going to drive for you. It doesn't give you the option. It basically, if there's a conversation to be had between you and your partner, that conversation will always take place, whether it's him driving or if it's you driving. You're going to hear that conversation. But then once it's over, if he's driving, you just instantly will be taken to the location, which is nice. You don't spend a lot of time having to just drive. You know, it's that instant travel, but you still get the meat of the conversation. And it's in that part when you're having that conversation with the other driver or, you know, with your, you know, partner that he's wrecking into something or backing up. I mean, I watched this guy try to get out of a parallel park situation and literally just hit the front car, hit the back car, hit the front car, hit the back car, then pulled out and hit a car next to him. But then the scene ended and I warped to my location. But it was comical to watch.
The other thing that is kind of just a little inconsistent for me is the fact that I like bombed a case, got 2 stars on the case, and 20 seconds later, maybe not even in the intro cutscene of the next case, the captain's like buying me lunch and praising my skills and as a detective and things like that. He was just reaming me, but you know, half a minute ago.
Well, come on, lad, you're doing a great job. Now, I get what you're saying because the game does kind of have moments where it breaks down. You have those moments where you screw up the case, and it's probably worth mentioning. You can't not solve a case.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's kind of a good thing. I know it's a frustrating thing for some people because a lot of people wanted it to be you fail the case, you don't solve it. But it's the way the game is set up and the overall game is set up to where it's kind of important that you do get through the cases. So one way or another, you will solve the case. Now, if you're a good detective, early on with your questioning and your detective skills in terms of looking at the clues and putting things together and being able to solve the case quickly, you know, you're going to get through that case faster. If you ask the wrong questions, you don't get the right responses, the game basically is going to force you to go out and find more evidence. It's going to force you to go out and basically, you know, gather more things if you haven't already done that. And then it'll basically take you to that conclusion anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But you're rated on your performance. And so it's, you know, how many clues did you find? How many correct questions did you get? And that kind of is all summed up at the end of the case. But it will get you through the case. And, you know, some people didn't like that. I didn't have a particular problem with it because I always found it interesting the way the case is wrapped up because often I thought, oh, you know, I'm on the right track with a lot of the questions. Then I see how many questions I got wrong. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think there's something to be said now. Now I'm starting to find out, and I'm well into the homicide desk now at this point. And it's – on this last case that I've been doing, I'm finding – different places and different ways and approaches to go about finding the same location to go and explore. So there are like multiple clues, like one clue at two different scenes or two different points of interest that lead me to sort of the same place. But at the same time, you can choose what location you go to and sometimes completely miss one that you maybe should have hit before you went to back to the precinct to question someone or something like that. And that's kind of neat, but I always try to be as thorough as possible. And when I miss one, you know, I'm like, ah, man, I should have went to the other place first.
Right. Well, and that's the interesting thing because we, you know, and we're not going to belabor on this too much. So bear with us, listeners. But you know, one of the things that I found is that I had not asked a certain question on a particular case. You had asked the question, and it basically, in a sense, kind of prodded you to go back to a certain bar. Yeah. You went back to that bar and talked to the guy. I never did that. And I missed that complete conversation tree because I went down a different path and got to the conclusion a different route.
Yeah.
So there's definitely those interesting kind of dynamic ways to go about the case. You know, and lastly, and this is the last thing we're going to cover, it's you need to learn the game mechanic of the interview. So there's truth, lie, and doubt. And for the longest time, early on in the game, I did not understand this mechanic, you know, because I thought, well, hey, if I think he's lying, I'm going to say lie. And he, you know, then if he's lying, it's going to tell me. And I would be getting wrong questions and wrong answers and getting shut off from conversations consistently. And I finally figured it out that basically if you are collecting evidence and you start to interview someone and they say something that contradicts evidence you have, then you tell them it's a lie.
Yeah.
And because then what the game does is in a sense it says, okay, now you have to show this person the evidence that you have that contradicts what they just said. And as long as you have that piece of evidence in your clue book, then you catch them in the lie and you get the question right. If you don't have that piece of evidence, you'll get it wrong. Or if you select the wrong piece of evidence, you get it wrong. If in the course of your conversation they say something and you're just looking at them and you're seeing them kind of being shifty and you're thinking, I don't think they're telling me the truth. Something's not upright, you know, with this conversation. That's when you can say, "Go ahead."
No, just ask something to complete, not playing it or anything. So when you conduct an interview and you confront them with a lie, is the next step in that process then to go into your inventory and select an item?
Yes. Yes.
To follow up that accusation.
Correct. Correct. Now, another important mechanic to understand, and I forgot to mention this, is if you go into that clue book and you realize, oh shit, I don't have anything that's going to back up this, this allegation that, you know, I just told this guy, you know, you killed your wife and I can prove it and I've got nothing in here to prove it. You can actually hit the B button and back out of the lie, comment. And so basically the detective in a sense kind of says, hey, you know what? My bad. You can't fault me for trying. Type, you know, yeah. It's kind of one of those responses. Yeah. He basically just kind of completely backs away saying, you know, my bad. Don't hold it against me.
Was it just me? But is Phelps like unreasonably harsh when you select the doubt option?
Yeah, because doubt, really what that is, doubt is his intuition or your intuition of, I'm pretty sure there is something more to what you're telling me.
Yeah.
And I'm taking a leap of faith that what you've just said to me isn't accurate. And you need to come clean.
But wait a second. Like I'm interviewing this person, and the first question is, so when was the last time that you saw the victim? You know, and then you get the response, and I'm like, okay, well, doubt. I don't believe that. And he's like, you expect me to believe a nosy old bat like you ain't gonna notice who's coming and going out here? And I'm like, God damn, Phelps, he was just real nice to her, and then all of a sudden he's just crazy, you know.
Good cop, bad cop, all in one cop.
I guess. I don't know, but
– yeah. I mean, they're definitely – I would agree.
You can't stroll through it doing the doubt all the time then. Does that
matter? No. In fact, I've had more conversations shut down by doubting somebody.
Yeah.
Where they just they completely bottle up and they're like, you know what? You're an ass basically, and I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I had one person lawyer up on me. That was classic.
Well, let me just say one thing. And a lot of the people of interest in all these cases are noticeable from, you know, real world. It's almost like having actors in different movies and TV shows. These are actually – and by the way, the facial animation is absolutely just
– it is
amazing. Amazing. And – what they've done is taken a lot of TV show, you know, movie actors, things like that, and scanned their faces and, you know, sort of used this technology to implement them into the game. And I'm playing through something and I'm like, oh shit, that's Matt from Heroes. You know what I mean? And I'm like, right. No, Matt, you're going to get away from me. You ain't, you know what I mean? And all this and that. And that's the one kind of problem that I have is when I see these people, I don't remember their name in game, but I remember what they've done in real life. You know?
Well, you know, I mean, probably a lot of that has to do with the fact that this is such a new technology. And let's face it, you know, actors' faces haven't really been all that prevalent in games on a consistent basis. So we don't recognize them or associate them with game characters. You know, we associate them with their more prevalent, you know, movie or television roles. I mean, you know, the guy you're talking about played in Heroes for X amount of episodes. You've seen him once in a video game.
Yeah.
Now, he's done voiceover.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, so, you know, I think that's one of those things that it's going to be interesting to see if it changes a little bit of the dynamic of the industry. But anyway, let's
– I think
let's,
for me, the final thing is that this game, no matter whether it's – considered for game of the year or not, which I don't think that it'll get close. It's a really good game, but I don't know if it's that good. This will be a landmark title 10 years from now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree. So let's move off of this. Let's wrap what we've been playing up. We're done. We're going to move on. And I think right about now we need to cover over the old new releases. So we'll kick Grandma in the leg and get her to fire up the old recording and we'll go from there. All right, new release calendar for the week. This week on the Wii, we've got Kung Fu Panda 2 You Draw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy that one. NASCAR, the game, 2011. A little redneck racing, left turn. And on the WiiWare front, Overflow. Let's see, moving on to the PS3, because we don't cover DS games or 3DS games, because it doesn't count anymore. PS3, Dirt 3, coming this week to the retail shelves, Kung Fu Panda 2, minus the U-Draw, of course, and Naughty Bear Gold Edition. All those Naughty Bear fans. I think Mike Chin was a huge Naughty Bear fan, if I recall. I think he was saying it was like Game of the Year.
That's an oxymoron.
On the PSN front, no new updates. There was hope that it might be up this evening as we're recording, but I have not seen and or heard anything to back that up. So as of right now, nothing up on PSN yet. Over on to the Xbox 360. This week, Dirt 3, Kung Fu Panda 2, and of course, Naughty Bear Gold Edition. Xbox Live Arcade, a game I'm actually very excited for, Dungeons & Dragons Daggerdale.
Is that this week?
That is this week. It's already here.
Ooh, is that PC too, or is that just XBLA?
I believe it's just XBLA and PSN. Now, the release schedule for it is this week, of course, on Xbox Live Arcade, and crossing fingers, next week on PSN.
Damn, I might have to get a month of Xbox Live Gold.
You might have to, because four-player co-op, Steve.
Yeah, just saying. Yeah, I know.
I am definitely getting it. Also, deals of the week, Fallout 3 and Oblivion Love. Yeah, Mothership Zeta, Broken Steel, Operation Anchorage, all basically cut in half. And you'll be happy to know the horse armor pack for Oblivion, down from 200 Microsoft points to only 100 points. Knights of the Nine, Shivering Isles, all on sale. And, of course, all of the Fallout 3 and Oblivion gear for your avatar, all available at cheap, cheap prices. If you need it, go check it out. Yeah, that pretty much wraps it up for this week.
And this is the news of the week.
All right, so news this week, quick hits. Duke Nukem. Yeah, you guessed it. It is gold, my friends. It's gone gold. It really is happening, so they say. For all those big Marvin's Maze fans, yeah, the old SNK classic. I know you were all thinking, God, when is that coming out? It's coming to the PS3 and the PSP, according to the ESRB. Yeah, yeah. Steve, I know you're excited.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Rich is excited for this one. Kinect Googly Eyes and Tetris Party Challenge are right in the Australia boards. So it's coming. Kinect Googly Eyes. Rich.
What's that about then?
I have no clue, but I think you're going to have to go buy a Kinect just so you can play some Googly Eyes. if nothing else, Rich, I'll jump on Kinect, the Kinect cam, and I'll make Googly Eyes at you. Hey guys, APB reloaded. You know, we were all excited for APB. I know, Steve, you and I we got free codes to it way back when.
Oh, the Suicide Girls were awesome. That was great.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Walked down the halls, Suicide Girls came running up to Steve, and he
almost ran me over.
Oh yeah, they surrounded you. You got free codes, and what happened? APB goes down in flames. But it is like the phoenix; it has risen back up from the ashes. And is now in open beta. Yeah. APB reloaded. Okay. Moving forward. Hey, there's a patent that points at a PlayStation Move-compatible PSP Go dock. Now, we all know the PSP Go isn't exactly doing fantastic. In fact, it's kind of dead in the U.S.
Dead? I was going to say.
But there's rumors that it possibly might just be kind of now being shifted over for the old NGP.
Mm-hmm.
More importantly, would you really want to play with your PSP, NGP, or whatever with Move?
No, but let's face it. I mean, there are a ton of patents filed on a daily basis. So it doesn't mean that this is going to go anywhere, but it could possibly be for the NGP simply because, you know, why else would you patent something with a new piece of hardware that you hadn't maybe announced yet or hadn't really given details on, maybe.
Yeah,
fine. I'm just getting visions of people having to stand a couple of meters back from their little handheld, squint their eyes to focusing on the screen, and start waving the ice cream cone about. What's the word?
Yeah.
That can't work, surely.
No, it can't. The only thing I can think of is somehow maybe it also allows you to plug your PSP into the TV, and so you can put it up on the TV. It's the only thing that makes sense to me. Either way, yeah. Moving on. Hey, I know everybody was on pins and needles last night. Modern Warfare 3 gameplay trailer. It hit. It arrived. We've all had a chance to see it. I thought it looked pretty good.
My mate was in the States last week, and he came back to work this week, and he was saying that they were actually advertising the fact that they were going to have a trailer on some major TV network before the basketball championship
yeah.
or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a big deal.
That's how big it is.
Mm. Yeah, despite the fact that it's Call of Duty, it looks pretty good.
Yeah. You know what? Okay. I have a rant here, and this is actually more – it is more to do with all of the forums that I've been seeing when they've all been talking about Modern Warfare 3, and everybody's been, oh, Modern Warfare 3, Call of Duty, it sucks, blah, blah, blah. Battlefield 3 is going to kick its ass. It's going to be way better, blah, blah, blah. And everybody's, you know, holding Battlefield 3 up like some bastion of hope, like this game is going to be the new coming of Christ. And I started to really kind of think about the way EA and DICE have treated us as gamers with the Battlefield series in recent years. And I'm going to throw Modern Combat into the mix to just, you know, because DICE was the multiplayer component piece on that. And then I looked at what Call of Duty and Activision have been doing with their series. You know, Modern Warfare and the Call of Duty series, yeah, they've been releasing a game every year, but each developer's had a full 2 years to make each iteration. Each game has had a full 2 years. They've felt full. They've had, you know, both single player, co-op modes, and multiplayer modes, lots of maps, and they've supported with map packs. Now, granted, a lot of us can, and I certainly will say, those map packs feel expensive, but they've been consistent, they've come out, and they've delivered. The Battlefield series has not shared the same kind of fate. You know, we've had Battlefield Bad Company, Battlefield Bad Company 2, Battlefield 1943, Battlefield Vietnam. I don't know if you want to call that a map pack or an expansion to the Battlefield Bad Company 2 game. And then we're going to have Battlefield 3 all within basically 3 years, because the first Battlefield Bad Company came out in 2008. So that's quite a few games that they've come out and launched out, and they have not supported any of these with any kind of real DLC, with the exception of Modern Combat, which I forgot to mention that game, that DICE basically kind of sidebarred and helped support and created a multiplayer mode for that game, all while they were basically developing out these other titles.
Well, I think you have to remember, though, that the Call of Duty franchise has one of the largest footholds in gaming, okay? And I think what EA and maybe, you know, possibly DICE, but EA is probably the one pulling the strings and making the decisions here. You have to remember that Battlefield is struggling to find its niche. It's struggling to find its audience, because Modern Warfare and, you know, whatever the off year game is, I mean, it's pretty much the standard. And I don't know. I mean, I think maybe as far as Battlefield 3 and Modern Warfare 3, I think you're going to see maybe a little bit of console discrepancy in its success. Battlefield 3 will probably be bigger on the PC, and Modern Warfare 3 obviously will dominate the Xbox 360, I think.
Now, I could see that. I mean, it makes sense. Go ahead, Rich.
I'll just say what I've said before. I think if they come to the party, if EA is so desperate for this crown, if they come to the party with the package set up, definitely from a starting point, with what they finished with on Battlefield Bad Company 2, i.e. Onslaught mode being built in from the off.
Yeah.
The amount of maps you had, say, including Vietnam. The Modern Warfare's leaked or strategically leaked the list of maps that they're going to have in theirs, and it's 20 strong.
Yeah.
That's the biggest start-off they've ever had. Normally you're talking 16, 18 maps. Now you've got 20. So if they want the crown, they're gonna have to fight for it. And they can't go into it with what they have done. And I do take on board the fact that the lot larger scale maps, so they do take more time to develop. You've got the destruction aspect of it, which obviously takes more time to set up. But the other thing is, Battlefield 3 as a product, really, if I remember rightly, Bad Company was almost like a lighter weight version of the main Battlefield game.
No, so agreed, agreed.
There's going to be so many people disappointed if they don't come with this fuller package. There's going to be more game modes because there's the main Battlefield releases.
There has to be.
As well, don't there? So, so, you know, if they can live up to what the hype is, they've got a chance of getting in there. And this thing to do with the release date as well, has that been confirmed that they're coming out the same week?
Oh yeah, they are going head to head.
That really does surprise me.
I think in so many ways, Rich, that is maybe Activision just being like, you know what, EA, we've heard enough of your shit. You know what? Let's go. Because EA, and let's face it, EA and DICE have been talking, and it's mostly been EA, a lot of smack about how Battlefield 3 is going to take the crown from, you know, Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been consistently over the past, what, 2-3 months, that's all we've heard coming out of their camp is how this game is set to take over and recapture the crown from Call of Duty. And I think we got a heavyweight battle. I'm excited to watch it. I'll tell you that. I cannot.
I mean, isn't that something to hope for? I mean, that would push the quality level of Call of Duty even more if that's the case.
It is something to be excited for in one respect. Because I agree, competition and that kind of thing really, you know, it kind of fuels the fires. But this kind of smack talk all kind of came at this point. It's a little late in the game for it to really be, you know, generating any true change in another game's direction. But what's more concerning to me is that this is like EA's battle cry, and it's been their battle cry for a couple years now. You know, Modern Combat came out. That was, you know, Medal of Honor, Modern Combat. That was going to be their way of getting back in and dethroning Call of Duty. And that didn't work out. And now they're basically jumping onto the Battlefield series. And my fear is that the guys upstairs are pushing the developers downstairs into bad decisions and decisions that are going to hurt the series. Because there's things about Battlefield that we love and we've come to love and that we know that they deliver on well. And I just don't want to see, you know, EA kill off this franchise like they did with Medal of Honor because they become too sighted on this carrot that they're trying to achieve, you know, that they're trying to, you know, get as opposed to just making a great game.
Yeah.
If it's a great game, it's going to sell. I mean, I remember when Call of Duty came out, the first Modern Warfare came out in its beta. Nobody really knew about it. It had this beta that they let people jump into on the Xbox 360, and it was like, holy crap, this game is good. And suddenly, everybody was talking about it up until release. And that's what I want to see happen for Battlefield 3, not EA saying, it is a great game. I want to hear gamers say, it's a great game.
Well, I think not only at EA, but Activision, Bethesda, not Bethesda, but I guess ZeniMax, you know, proper. The higher you take the elevator, the more you lose sight of that.
Yeah, that's true.
So just one thing real quick before we move on. Wasn't Raven supposedly intermingled with Modern Warfare 3? I didn't see the logo on the trailer.
That was always the scuttlebutt, but just like you, I did not see their logo. I saw Sledgehammer and Infinity Ward.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Raven maybe is now, could they be potentially working on just map packs for Black Ops?
Possibly.
But then again, I think that's still Treyarch, but, you know, who knows? Maybe they're just working on a completely different IP. Maybe they got pulled off and Sledgehammer got put in.
Well, Raven's a damn solid FPS creation, you know, development house. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next piece of news, which is, it's a nice little tidbit. Dead Space 2 is adding free multiplayer maps. So all those people still playing Dead Space 2, you got some free goodies coming to you. When, I don't know, but
irrelevant.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's a little late. I mean, I don't know. Yeah,
yeah, it is a tad late. But hey, that is one thing. I think as much as we hate hearing about DLC from like day one type thing, it's almost important for developers to announce that they've got DLC plans within that first month of a game releasing, because as gamers, especially for online play, you like to know there's more stuff coming down the road, to where, you know, the 8 maps that it ships with aren't going to, you know, you're going to be thinking, oh God, I got to play these 8 maps for the rest of my life.
We have short memories, and timing is everything in this industry.
This is true. Hey, Uncharted, the NGP version, Uncharted, is actually a prequel. It's taking place before Drake's Fortune.
Yeah.
And apparently, some more details are coming on June 2nd. No less. June 2nd, not the big Sony press conference, which we will talk on very shortly here. Last little quick hit, and I know some of these haven't been quick hits, but Ghost Recon Online. Yeah, we've all been wondering where Ghost Recon is. Well, apparently it's gone online. So Ghost Recon Online, it's a free-to-play shooter, is in closed beta over the summer. Now, this is, of course, not Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter. That's still coming. Ghost Recon Future Soldier, still coming. But I guess we can now know what Ubisoft has been doing with the Ghost Recon franchise all this time. They decided to make a free online multiplayer game for PC.
Yeah, makes me wonder if they were up against the budget on Future Soldier, and maybe this is going to bring in a little cash to help help move that along. Maybe that's why it was delayed again.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, who knows? But here's one thing I do know, guys. Sony press conference. Yep. June 6th, not July 6th. June 6th. How long do you think this press conference is going to be, Steve?
I don't know. Greater than 4 hours, maybe?
That would be crazy. That would be insane. But it is. 5 hours. Sony's press conference. I kid you not, 5 hours. 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. And get this. There's an after party. All I have to say to this is, one, I will not be sitting through that whole press conference. I planned on watching all the press conferences, but I'm not sitting through 5 hours of anybody talking about their company.
Well, you better clear everything off of your DVR, because your DVR is barely going to be able to contain this one.
That's the other big question is, you know, is this all going to be covered in its entirety live? Are they going to break it up? In terms of the television coverages, I have to imagine at some point they're probably taking a break and serving dinner to these people.
Maybe.
They could do it like an election and just have like pundits and swingometers and stuff.
Oh, I'm
still going off.
I'm sure they're going to have a few of those people, you know, some lobbyists out in the crowd. So this way that when they come up to talk about the PSN outage, they don't hear a chorus of boos. They'll hear some cheers.
You know what we should do? We should record this, okay, and on the DVR, and sync it, and we should sit on Skype and record it and do like a 5-hour Mystery Science Theater 3000 thing.
I'm baffled.
I'll get me sleeping bag.
Yeah, I'll break out my sleeping bag as well. I don't understand how or why Sony plans to truly pull this off and really keep the attention of the press. And that's the biggest problem. I mean, if people start losing interest, no matter what they're showing, I'm at a loss for words for this one. 5 hours.
Maybe Jack Tretton is going to individually apologize for the PSN outage to every person in attendance, maybe.
He's going to do a 7-second bow for everybody. One by one. 7 seconds. 7 seconds. Okay, Steve. Last piece of news before we hit the break. This was a surprising one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's talk a little Capcom.
Well, Capcom, whom you may remember from the last few weeks about their complaints that they lost hundreds of thousands of dollars in revenue during the PSN outage, apparently today shared details on their sales expectations, I guess, for the current fiscal year, and subsequently announced that they're set to cut Nintendo Wii support, which isn't a shock, but also 3DS support? Wait, what?
Yeah. That's a pretty surprising move. It doesn't speak too well for expectations on the 3DS.
No. I mean, they still have Resident Evil Revelation, which is maybe months or a year out, maybe something like that. And also the Mercenaries, you know, that is, I think, set to release now, or it's out, I'm not sure. But this screams to me, and I think we're going to talk about this a little bit after the break, is this new rumored Nintendo, you know, console successor controller sort of maybe cannibalizing the 3DS market, because they're really, you know, closely related devices, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think, to be fair, and we don't have the full details on the whole story, so there could be some things that are missing from this that maybe weren't caught in the innuendo of what was said. But, you know, it's quite possible what they're saying is, we're going to cut our, you know, our 3DS and Wii support, as in we're going to cut back. So we're not completely cutting it out, but we're definitely downsizing it considerably, because we're going to focus on other areas. And I think that maybe makes a little more sense, especially when it comes to the 3DS, as opposed to the other avenues.
Well, so. one word missing out of a sentence could completely change the context of said sentence. So if the word back is missing, then that's a pretty big misstep there.
Nope, without a doubt. Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to take our show break at this point. And we will be back after that, and we'll be discussing some Nintendo for E3. If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
People say,
come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, VGHub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.
I am Dr. Mario, and I am saving lives. I look different in this game.
I lost my hat, got a coat, Dr. White stethoscope.
I am Dr. Mario, and I prescribe high fives. Latter's the best medicine, so...
You fell down.
In the Mushroom Kingdom, I'm the finest doc by far. I got my degree by watching House and Scrubs and ER. Brightly colored pills, they'll cure all your ills. Just as long as you've got fever or the chills.
Take off your food. Now let's see... Turn your head and cough. Okay, now do me. Please?
Does it hurt to pee?
No.
Is it hard to see?
No.
I am diagnosing you with HPV.
Oh.
You've got mononucleosis, halitosis, scoliosis, 15 days is my prognosis, you need red and blue pill doses. You've got scabies and phlebitis, chronic rabies, hepatitis, you'll be brave and you'll unite us, then you'll die of meningitis. Wait. You have... Crabs. Brightly colored pills, they'll cure all your ills. Just as long as you've got fever or the chills. I take it, floss. Dr. Mario.
All right, we're back from the break and refreshed and ready to go. Rich, you're feeling it, right?
Oh.
Excitement?
It's like a fresh morning for me. Let's do this.
Literally, fresh morning for you. All right. E3 discussion. And Steve, this is – we brought you in because we knew, out of all the people we know, you would know the most about what Nintendo has coming and doesn't have coming. So this is the week we want to talk about Nintendo, E3 rumors, kind of what we're expecting, what we're not expecting. Let's just dive into it. So fire away. Let's start off on the hardware side.
All right. So let's link arms and jump down the proverbial rabbit hole here for a second. So I'm just going to kind of run through the hardware, which the stream or whatever they're calling it now, this new console that's going to be.
Wait, can I just say, I hope to God, I mean, I literally have prayed on this, that they really do call it the Nintendo Wii Stream.
No, that's horrible. So even Stream's horrible by itself. They just make it needs to be like the Nintendo Awesome or something like that. You know, that would be better, and that's still bad.
But it's Nintendo, so clearly it will never be called the Awesome.
No. So anyway, what we're looking at is sort of a tri-core IBM PowerPC CPU, and that's pretty much what is in the Xbox 360 and to some extent the PlayStation 3, and they're both 3.2 gigahertz, if I'm not mistaken. So if this is what this is, then I don't expect it to be more than maybe 3.5 gigahertz, maybe a little bit, and it may be exactly the same. Unknown amount of system RAM, we have no idea, but, you know, and we'll kind of talk about that in a second. But as for a graphics card, the ATI Radeon R700 family of GPUs, which is sort of like, I guess it's equivalent to, it's a Radeon 4. So the okay. the high-end Radeon 4s use GDDR5, and the low-end can be GDDR2 or 3. So it's hard to tell where they're going to go with that. At least 512 megs of said GDDR. So that's important. That is important.
That's your graphics RAM, yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. That is important. So
at least somebody's following this conversation. Thank you, Rich.
So as in your Xbox 360, you know, it has 512 megs total, but it's shared. So, you know, you can sort of allocate what you need for the CPU and for the GPU. Now, whether this 512 megs is that or if it's dedicated, who knows? Shader 4.1 support, which is pretty impressive. Then we get into the tablet style controller, and I think this is kind of where everybody's just kind of iffy about. With a 6-inch, right around 6.2, I think it was, inch touchscreen, supposedly high definition, dual analog sticks, standard D-pad, trigger buttons, maybe more, not sure. And the console itself rumored to aesthetically resemble a SNES. How about that? Interesting. So you fellas, just right off the top from those specs, Rich, what are your thoughts? I mean, do you believe all these stats?
Well, they're out there, and loads of the people building the same spec just to see what it can achieve. I've seen that on a couple of websites just to see what it's capable of. And so on. The only thing that does worry me is everything. They have got the manufacturing punch to deliver this at a decent cost, I suppose. But the one thing is, what we've talked about before is the controller. If it's going to be high end, then is the performance of the actual box, the guts of it, going to suffer for it? Knowing that they know what their market is. I'd like to think not. I'd like to think that they're seeing the fact that they have got a massive share of the market and people have followed them over the past 4 years, and hopefully they're wanting to handhold this massive consumer bulk that they've got into a more advanced game playing style. So, it is promising. I'd like to see them pull everybody else forward that's gone along with them. So hopefully they'll get something that might entice people like yourself, Steve, that have grown up with this sort of thing from years past and want to do a bit of serious gaming on that box.
Yeah, and I think that the other thing is that when I look at this, I see Nintendo doing two things. And like you said, they're trying to pull along the people that maybe they hooked with the Wii. Mm-hmm. And sort of maybe going for the casual appeal, and the hot thing right now is an iPad. And if you can get a tablet that maybe you can use Wi-Fi in your house to browse the web and it's a controller, Nintendo has their device in your hands twice as much.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, good.
Well, here's one thing that kind of loses me when – and this is how are they really being able to handhold people along if they're breaking away from the current control scheme of the Wii and introducing something completely foreign, you know, in terms of, you know, it's a gamepad, it doesn't have a nunchuck, you know, does that make sense? I mean, we've heard them talk about that, you know, supposedly it's going to be backward compatible. Now, there's rumors that there's maybe infrared support on the new console. So does that mean we're going to get a new light bar?
I hope not. Oh, that thing's annoying.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, so maybe that would make a little sense, because then people that had a Wii could, you know, play their games on the new console with their old nunchuck. But, I mean, if it doesn't have that kind of support to actually support the nunchuck, I don't see how in the world they create the system and call it backwards compatible.
Okay, so this is kind of the point of contention that I wanted to get to, and this is the thing that kind of makes me not believe this laundry list 100%, is the fact that, like you said, the rumor is that it's going to be backward compatible, okay? If it is indeed to be backward compatible, it needs at least a Bluetooth 2.0 antenna, okay, or a board in it. So if that happens, the Bluetooth pretty much needs to be the new 3.0 in order to transmit HD frames to the touchscreen. If not, they're going to have to use either a 2.4 gigahertz or, you know, 5.8 or whatever to transmit over like a radio frequency. And that just doesn't mesh for me. Like that whole thing, I don't see them putting a multi-purpose antenna board in there at all. I just don't understand how this is going to transmit from one to the other and still completely be backward compatible, because Bluetooth, the new Bluetooth standard, is way too expensive for them to put into this thing if you're going to pay that much money for the touchscreen controller.
Well, I guess maybe the question that kind of goes along with that is, you know, since we're talking about the hardware, what are we predicting for hardware cost? What do we think this thing launches out at? And I'm guessing they're not going to announce price today or at E3. I'm kind of guessing they're going to hold off on announcing price. Yeah. But, I mean, with those specs right there, I don't think this thing's under $400, even close. And it's probably going to be $450.
I mean, you're lucky if you hit $400. I mean, the only way that you hit $300 is if that touchscreen controller is optional. And I think, like you said when we talked earlier today, there's no way that you cannot make that a standard if it's something that specific.
Okay, and given that price point, I mean, I don't know, Rich, do you think this thing then has to use Blu-ray and be kind of a dual-purpose machine that you could also consider it a Blu-ray player?
Knowing what they've done previously with drives, I would suspect that there might be something funky down the line for that. The thing is that's the stopping point when you're thinking about any sort of route that they're going to go down is if they weren't going to go Blu-ray, then you'd have to look at online downloadable stuff, and they've never got that right.
I don't think it is Blu-ray. I want to say that it's a proprietary.
I can't see them doing that because it's Sony's tech. I can't see them jumping on board.
Well, it's Sony's tech, but let's not forget. I mean, Blu-ray is a consortium. Sony certainly is one of the mainstays in that. But I mean, they don't own Blu-ray. They own a piece of the Blu-ray technology. So anybody can license out Blu-ray, just like anybody can license out, you know, a SD RAM or, you know, any of these other memory, configurations. They're owned in part by other companies, but, you know, you license out the technology, you can do it. So, I mean, I could see them going that route, and I find it awfully curious that whatever they're doing, it's rumored at 25 gigabytes for the new, you know, that just sounds way too close to being Blu-ray.
Well, I think it'll be proprietary, and I think it will allow Nintendo to make a little bit on the front end and a little bit on the back end on every third-party game published, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see, because we have really no idea at all. I mean, we're probably lucky that we know what we think we know right now through this list of things.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Rich. Key software possibilities is something that I kind of wanted to hit on. And just to maybe give you something to think about, it wouldn't surprise me if Nintendo is really trying to go hardcore this time, back to the core audience, not just capturing this huge sort of, you know, temporary audience. It wouldn't surprise me. Do you remember the story not too long ago that LucasArts rehired Tim Luongo for an unannounced game? And he was – I think he was the creative director, I want to say, on Star Wars Republic Commando, that had a pretty good cult following. And Nintendo's been known a few times to have a Star Wars game ready for launch. Wouldn't that be something if there was another Republic Commando and they bring it out and announce it for the Nintendo console? It'll be multi-platform, but they come out at the press conference and kind of drop this Star Wars bombshell.
Yeah, it's not been the only dev that's been rumored to be jumping on board with them. So, yeah, this is what I'd like to see. A lot more core games that you could see coming out. It's the thing that excites me the most about it. I'd like to see launch titles to be not just casual based, just to have like say one or two a trickle in there, just to get that core gamer interest in it from when it launches. Because think about it this way, if the price point is going to be high, your casual market's going to be put off by it. So,
yeah,
they've got to have something to entice the gadget hungry population to buy it. And your gadget hungry public aren't likely to be the casual gamers.
No.
They're the guys that normally... Richie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're making a great point. I mean, honestly, Nintendo's kind of in one of those hard points where their audience up until now has been casual with the Wii, and they can't, you know, launch this high-end system with the same type of games that they had on the Wii. It's not going to float because the casual audience is not going to spend $400 on a console. And the hardcore audience that would buy that console isn't going to spend $400 for a console that's going to play something that they could play on their Wii.
Yeah.
So let's also look at the way that the actual Japanese development movement has changed over the last few years. You can see that there is a trend for a lot of the Japanese titles and so on that they are keen to grab the Western style game and you know, try and get on board with that. So I'm sure there's a massive amount of devs out there that they've already conferred with and talked to whilst they've been developing this console that are eager and keen to launch serious titles that would get them a massive audience all over the world. So I'm sure there's no shortage of people that are keen to develop for this new console anyway. So yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. And knowing what they can do to shake up, I mean, for as many people that mock the Wii, now that it's gone down the path that it has, they're not daft Nintendo. They know how to get the bucks in from people out there that are ready to shell out money. And, they do often have very good marketing plans, so.
When I think about speaking to that is, you know, something Greg, you and I have probably talked about, you know, extensively, is the fact that Nintendo seems to like to hit right as the new and shiny wears off of the hardware that's out there. And they save money by using what is essentially last or late current gen tech and relaunching it and repackaging it with a Nintendo twist. And still sort of hooking people. And this would make sense to launch right now for them because, like we said before, you know, timing is everything and perception is reality. So if you don't launch this next year, this is the perfect time to reveal it. And it has to be launched next spring because by then, if they wait another year, I think like we were talking, Greg, was the fact of next E3 – and maybe even this E3, maybe Microsoft shows a little something. But by next E3, we're going to be seeing some serious next gen tech, and it's going to be too late for Nintendo. So they have to strike while the iron's hot, I'm pretty sure.
No, I agree. And, you know, going back to something, Rich, you were talking about, which, you know, Nintendo is going to be kind of relying on third-party support. You know, I started to think about that. How good have they really been with third-party support? They got a lot of third-party support into the Wii by virtue of numbers. You know, it was a huge audience, so third-party developers jumped on. They said, you know what, there's an audience there. We can make money off them. Nintendo never really had to go out and kind of coddle them and coax them into developing for them. Nintendo has certainly their strong first-party, you know, studios internally, but – you know, a lot of people are saying Nintendo's going to be more reliant on third-party studios this go-round. But how good is Nintendo really at wooing a third-party studio? You know, if I'm, you know, Infinity Ward, or, you know, with, you know, Activision, and I'm looking at this new Wii console, am I really going to want to just jump right in to its launch party lineup?
That depends.
And develop for it?
That depends on how compatible. I mean, we keep talking about the parallels with the spec of
right.
the hardware.
That's
if,
true.
If it is running so, as parallel as what we're thinking it is to do with the Xbox, then maybe it's not such a big job for them third-party developers to make their titles available for this new platform.
Well, yeah, but I mean, do you see what I'm getting at? I mean,
yeah.
We look at Microsoft. Microsoft was really aggressive. They spent money going after some of these third-party developers that were kind of still being exclusive, and they got them to come over. I don't know that that's in Nintendo's bag of tricks, at least to this point.
Well, let's not
I've never
forget.
Seen them had to do that.
Let's not forget that those who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. So, by virtue of that, the devs and the publishers, and probably the publishers more than the developers, are just as responsible for early in the Wii's life cycle for porting games, porting PSP games to the Wii. They set the standard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I guess my counterpoint to that is, was that because Nintendo just didn't really give them enough incentive to want to do anything more than that?
I think it was
quick cash.
That's what I think.
Yeah. I mean, certainly it was quick cash. But, you know, now we've got a new console. It's going to be, you know, zero install base. It's more or less coming out, you know, on the same power levels as the PS3 and the 360. We don't know what it's going to be like to develop for because it does have this new controller. It could be a little trickier. And, you know, so, our devs maybe going to sit back a little bit more and wait, or are they, you know, going to be like, oh, this is the Wii all over again. We're getting in ground floor.
I don't know. I think people.
I have to think they're maybe going to wait a little bit.
People know the Nintendo name, and I think they'll, you know, there may be an adjustment period where they may have to woo, you know, the enthusiast gamer again.
Well, and I'm not trying to bash Nintendo, Steve. So I mean, Nintendo did huge success with the Wii, but let's not forget. It was just the generation before the Wii. They had the GameCube, and that failed miserably.
You know, I loved my GameCube, believe it or not. I thought it was fantastic. Of course, I love my PS2 as well, but I don't know. Now, I'm just as angry as you are, possibly more.
I'm not angry. I'm just kind of like pointing out and just trying to be a little devil's advocate here.
I'm hoping that – and Nintendo's smart enough. I mean, I think Nintendo saw that the Wii was a fad, and I think they know. And you know, the reason that I kind of say that, I think they know that it's time for that, is simply because Tokyo EAD has been suspiciously silent as of late, about the last year or so. And that's, you know, Nintendo's yeah. biggest, you know, in-house studio. So where's Star Fox? Where's Star Fox mm-hmm. been? Okay. The Retro Studio mystery title. Whatever that is. I mean, some are saying that it's a Sheik spinoff, if you remember Sheik from Ocarina of Time.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, and boy, this has my my bone tripped right now, and an Eternal Darkness sequel
that.
Or reboot? Mmm, yummy. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You sound just like the old dude from Family Guy.
You want to come here for some candy, little boy?
Anybody like Eternal Darkness? So, but anyway, like the Pikmin successor. I mean, we heard about it a while ago. Where is it? Okay, does Pikmin sort of become the Twilight Princess GameCube Wii, you know, spread title? Maybe I don't know. You know, Wii Party failed miserably. So do they go back to Mario Party? Maybe there's a Mario Party that we might hear about. And it's almost time, you know, chronologically, and if you look at the time spacing, for another Super Smash Brothers, maybe?
Yeah.
I tell you what, if they offer that Wii Party with one of them free touch pad controllers with it, everybody will be buying it.
Oh, God. Maybe not. I don't know.
Hey, did Zelda ever come out?
Which one?
The one we saw at E3.
No, it's not till this fall. So.
Where the hell's my Zelda game?
I don't know.
That's not what I know.
That, graphically, that thing just didn't, I mean, obviously it wasn't ready, but it really didn't look like it was ready. But the big thing, I think one of the key things for the end of the Wii's life cycle is the NTSC and PAL publishing of The Last Story and Xenoblade. That has to happen. Now, Nintendo has already, I guess, the domain names for each of those in the United States, I know, exist, or at least they've been registered. I don't know if there's anything if you go there. But those two RPGs, I think, are key to sort of maybe snag the last person to maybe rebuy a Wii and maybe sell it after they're done, or to hold me and to still make me happy with my Wii. So, other than that,
we all want to make you happy.
Well, I'm normally happy with my Wii, but other than that, system services and updates, I completely expect, you know, with the advent of the eShop channel, you know, Nintendo plans to switch over from a point system to actual currency. So that's interesting. And, you know, with two of the big three, do you think that and the other thing that I thought of is, Rich, maybe, you know, with this PayPal update to the Xbox 360, do you think that Microsoft ever strays from the wacky space bucks or no?
It's real currency, isn't it? So you can see how they're going to fan out for the next generation. Because, you know, the whole thing with Skype and the joining, you know, the PayPal and everything, you can see that their next console is going to become like a multimedia hub. They've been going that way for the last couple of years anyway, so that is definitely going to happen. So, yeah, in the real world, that will genuinely equate to real currency at the end of the day, I should think.
Just as an aside, though, whoever came up with that system was an evil genius.
Yeah.
Evil genius.
You don't realize what you're spending.
I know.
Well, you don't realize what you're spending. You always have a few extra space bucks sitting in there because nothing ever equals what it equals. And that is the evil genius of it. And I highly doubt they'll ever truly get completely away from it.
You don't think?
No, because I think they want that. They want you to have – you know, you had to refill your bucket a little bit. And, you know, you refilled it a little bit and you still have some left over. So it's just going to sit there and that's going to incentivize you to add some more space bucks in there so you can buy the next thing. You know, and it's tough because I know Microsoft is switching over. They're adding actual dollar values to things and allowing you to pay with credit cards now. So they are giving you the options. So I think that's probably going to be part of their plan is to present it in a couple different ways. You can use space bucks if you want because they're easy. Anybody can buy them. So kids can go into the GameStop. They can buy their space bucks and go spend it on their console. I don't think Microsoft wants to get away from that, you know, because most kids aren't going to have a credit card, so they're not going to be able to just go and buy something with a credit card online.
Yeah.
This way kids can go buy space bucks and not tell mom and dad, "Hey, I just wasted $20 on this game."
Yeah, well let's think about them fanning out the whole idea. They're realizing that, you know, PlayStation and obviously Nintendo jumping in with the eShop, they probably want to be one step ahead. So who's to say that, you know, 3 years from now you don't pop open your Xbox and you've got a hardware catalog there where you can buy your controllers and all of that, just like as if it was Amazon. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Oh, without a doubt. I
and
think
the
that's coming.
They've got, you know, the amount of money they can make off people that are suppliers and so on from that is going to be massive as well. So
yeah. I mean, with the onset of the Microsoft store, we already know they have the Sony stores. You know, and Sony was a hardware company to begin with, so that stuff is going to come to Sony. It's going to come to Microsoft, and I would suspect we will definitely see it come to Nintendo as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I should say that the eShop channel is for the 3DS, so that will be coming. And we already know that every 3DS owner, I guess, is going to get a 3D-ified, that's the technical term, version of the NES Excitebike for free. So to kind of test out the service and see what 8-bit games look like in full 3D. And hopefully the internet browser will go live. And one other thing that I should mention that I didn't have down here is that for those of you that don't own a 3DS, the 3DS sort of has a – well, I mean not sort of. It has a persistent front end, you know, to the console itself that allows you to hit the home button and bring up sort of like your dashboard, I guess. So I think we should fully expect to see that maybe if not laid out now. It is something that we will learn over the next 6 to 8 months, I think.
Okay. So here to wrap things up, I'm going to ask each of you, give me one prediction and an answer to this question. And I'll start with Rich. So, Rich, give me one prediction for Nintendo, for E3, and then do they get rid of friends codes on the new console?
All right, I'll answer your last one first, because that's the kind of guy I am. Yeah, they'll get rid of friends codes. They'll give you a true identity if you want it. And prediction, I will predict that they will, talking about the cost and everything that we've said about the old console and everything, they will directly be marketing that new console and that new controller is basically direct competition, not direct competition, but detraction from your iPads and your tablets. So I'm thinking along the lines of your eShop will eventually give you apps and stuff like that, which you can roam around the house and get functionality from that gamepad.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, same question.
I think I kind of laid mine out already. I think that maybe Tim Luongo is going to come out in the press conference and announce that that LucasArts maybe has a one-year exclusive publishing deal with Nintendo for Republic Commando 2, I think.
And Friends
Codes? Friends Codes could go either way. I mean, if they're going this route of really trying to pull the core gamer back, then I would say no, but I think I know better. I mean, if the 3DS would have come out without friend codes, then I would say that no friend codes. But I'm going to say it's going to be one simplified code, and we're still going to see it.
Okay. I reluctantly am probably agreeing with you, Steve. I think the simplified friend code stays, but it's still a code. But it'll at least be universal.
Yeah.
And one, you're totally wrong on LucasArts. More than likely, that guy got hired to work on the Kinect Star Wars game. Just throwing that out there. No, their big announcement, I'm going to go out on a limb. GTA 5 will be coming to the Wii 2.
Yeah, that is the rumor, and I think that's
according Rockstar.
That's a good call. Yeah, that's a good call.
Yep. So... All right, that does it. That wraps up Nintendo.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was good, though. Thank you, Steve, for the thoroughness. And, well, let's just say we will finish up with Microsoft next week. So certainly, listeners, if you have questions specifically for the Microsoft E3 press conference, shoot them over to us, and we will delve into those in the community mailbag. And that's pretty much where we're at right now. So let's dive into a little mailbag. All right. So we're going to jump right into the mailbag.
So real quick, guys, I just wanted to ask, you know, just thinking about your question of the week next week, what do you say you make it? You know, what would people have to, you know, what would it take, let's say, for Nintendo to drag a lot of your audience and, you know, gamers in general back for this next console? What would it take for them to do so?
It's a good question. That's a really good question. I have a couple ideas, none of which you're going to like. So, I don't know, Rich, let's focus in on this question, though, but that is the question for next week. So, listeners, we're going to try and be a little more consistent about that. We like this idea. We're going to announce next week's question. I know, Rich, it's a lot of pressure.
Really, Greg? Really?
And we'll dive into this week's question. So take it away, Rich.
Yes, this question, which in the old format was thought up over my breakfast on a Saturday morning, was, what do you want to see unveiled at E3? So we threw that one out there. So, yeah, Twitter's first. Or should we have initial thoughts? Overall picture.
Yeah, initial thoughts. Steve, you're going to go last because you're the guest.
I don't think I have anything.
Yeah, I'll take a lead. I mean, what do I want to see unveiled at E3? Now I'm struggling over this. There's not a specific game that I want to see unveiled at E3. I guess at this point, I'm probably most curious to see the Wii 2 or Nintendo's new console unveiled to see what it really is, because we've had all this rumor and speculation. It's the only true unknown that we know about. You know what I mean? We know what's coming. We know what's out there. We just don't know what it is. So it has my interest pretty well peaked. Other than that, I mean, there's so many different games out there that I could want to have announced or just followed up on. I mean, I'm desperately wanting to hear about the reboot of MechWarrior. You know, I'm sticking with my mech games, boys.
Always comes back to a mech game.
Rich, what about you? Any thoughts?
One of mine would be something along the similar lines of what you're talking about there. I want to see Microsoft come out and give us some real chunky, hard-assed games for the Kinect. We've seen plenty of titles come out that are obviously gathering up everybody for the casual gamer and all that lot. But show me a title that make me want to go and pay £100 for a Kinect. Because I've not bought one yet.
No.
Come on, Microsoft, persuade me. There's that, and I'd also like to see Ken Levine come out and give me a big ass chunk of BioShock Infinite.
I think you're going to get at least one of those things answered. Can't say which. Steve, what about you?
I sort of echo, you know, what you're both saying. I think especially Microsoft needs some hardcore Kinect games. The reason I really want to see that is there are a lot of like disabled gamers and things out there that I want to see them be able to play something that they really want to play. Like, I'm really excited to see that. And I think I really want to see what Retro is working on. Like we said, either the Eternal Darkness or the Sheik spinoff. And I need them to put my fears to ease about Xenoblade and The Last Story. I really want to see those, you know, make sure that a publishing deal is announced for Western territories.
Right. Okay. Well, enough of that business. Rich, give us some tweets. Tell us what the community says.
Yeah, we've got a few back on the tweets. We had Marty Greasy Fish Lips. He sent in, it's got to be Modern Warfare 3. So he was going for the odds-on favourite there. And possibly a new GTA game.
He definitely got one out of the two. You know, Modern Warfare 3 already announced. Hopefully we'll get more details, though. I'm sure we're going to get an on-stage demo at one of the press conferences. My money is on the Microsoft one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, then we also got Big Bad Daddy. Also, yeah. He said he was looking forward to the sense of oneness we gamers feel as a community. Oh, and the Wii 2 details as well.
You know, the best part about that Twitter or tweet is the fact that as you were reading that, and you see it on paper, in my head, I literally hear Rich's voice just, you know.
I've got a shout out for Rich later, which, I literally heard Rich's voice in my head. And, I'll go on to that in a bit. we got one from a Rabid Scotsman as well. I'd like to see myself at E3.
You ain't the only one.
Yeah. Careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Careful.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say, it was a lot more work than I ever thought it would be.
Yeah.
Scott, do you want to be sharing a room with Steve Conger and his snoring?
Yeah. No kidding. They tell you you're not going to get a lot of sleep. They don't tell you why.
Yeah. Should have been in the brochure.
All right. To the forums. Steve, why don't you actually go first? We'll go reverse order.
All right. Our good buddy John Mao 5 from the Play Vault. He says, want to see Penelope Cruz unveiled at E3 just because she's hot. Well, I can kind of agree with that, but I still don't think she can act her way out of a wet paper bag. But he says,
paper bag.
Yeah. Oh, games. I want to see more Saints Row 3. Yeah, boy. GTA 5 teaser or announcement would probably blow me straight out of my socks. Apart from that, yeah, more Penelope Cruz. Yeah.
Yes. So here's the scenario for John Mao. Fantasize about this one, if you will, and do whatever you want under your duvet cover to this, John. How's about Penelope Cruz comes out at the Nintendo conference with a brand new Wii 2 chained to her, along with exclusive announcement about GTA 5.
How's
that?
John Malfi's wet dream coming to life.
Right? I was going to say that's a recipe for a triple boner weekend there. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. All right, Rich, move on. Next one, please.
GX Rocker, he said, a new Guitar Hero or Rock Band. Now, I can't see the Guitar Hero one happening, mate.
that's probably not going to happen, but Rock Band, I think, could. I absolutely think could. Marcanix chimed in and said, some decent Kinect titles, echoing what you were saying, Rich. Increase Xbox Live Party System capacity from 8 to 12, and also increase the friends list to at least 200. I think everybody would love to see their friends list increased on a whole, no matter what console they're on. Peripheral-wise, I want a quality wireless headset capable of DTS so I can use them watching Blu-ray movies on my PS3. I've looked everywhere for some, but they are all just Dolby 5.1. Now, I did respond to him in the forums on this and told him about the new Turtle Beach. I believe they're the PX5s that just came out that support both the 360 and PS3. And supposedly they were claiming 7.1 in the advert, but I think DTS. So
DTS makes so much of a difference. Oh, man.
But yeah. So, but he said that he got his old Turtle Beach X4 ones apparently had a DTS setting. He just had to go in and make the modification. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, that's Mark Andrews.
So he's happy, and he's not expecting anything now, is he? Job done.
Yeah, no.
Except for his party stuff.
Yeah.
Bit of party action.
He is a party boy. All right, Steve, you are up next.
Mr. Parsnip Knows 3000, he says, an affordable and well-specced PC tablet, Android, of course. So you're going to want to be looking toward the dual-core Tegra 2 tablets coming pretty soon. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's the wrong show.
Yeah, I think we're talking CES,
yeah,
maybe.
Parsnip, wrong show. Good thought, but wrong show.
Achievements in indie games, and I don't know if I agree with this 100%. I still do think, and I am in the mindset of, you should have one achievement tied to every demo or something that you download, just for incentive for people to play more demos and things like that. I completely agree with that. Achievements in indie games, it could kind of muddy things up, but hey, you know, anything's possible. But he says, achievements on Android phone games. I can agree. I have OpenFaint installed on my Droid. And achievements for everyday tasks such as brushing my teeth or loading a dishwasher. You can set up your own points system if you want.
That's true. A wife could just come in. Chivo.
He says, I know what I really want, a 360 handheld. What I don't want to see, a successor to the 360. I still have too many unplayed 360 games.
Yeah, I don't want a 360 handheld. I think Microsoft has enough on their plate with just the Xbox 360 that I don't want to see them have to split off and basically take away from what they're already doing with the 360, which at times, let's face it, it feels kind of limited. Sometimes it feels like they're not developing enough resources as is to the Xbox 360. So why do I want to see them pull even more away for a handheld? No, sorry, Parsnip, you're wrong. Sure, you're right in your head, but you're wrong in mine, damn it. Rich, you are up next, yeah. My friend.
Raw Messiah, he sent in, I'd like to see the release date for the Star Wars Old Republic PC MMO.
You and the rest of the world.
That's, I keep hearing more rumbles about that, so it can't be too far off. Anyway, I'm also interested to hear more about the Wii 2 and the Sony NGP.
Yeah, you know, I have to say the Sony NGP is kind of flying a little under the radar for me, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because the 3DS came out and they kind of made the NGP announcement right in that same time frame, and then the Wii 2 was announced, and I keep forgetting the NGP is going to be shown and demoed, and we're going to actually get, you know, hands-on time with it. So, yeah, there's kind of some excitement. I just forget about it.
I think the thing that's exciting about the NGP is that, you know, it's completely, you know, Japanese-created hardware that is following the just over-consumerization of America. You know, it's completely ridiculous and over-the-top and has all these bells and whistles, and it is literally like the exotic sports car of handhelds.
Meh. Last one on the forums. Endgame13 had this to say. Said, I'd really like to see an update about Diablo 3.
I'd really like to see Diablo 3.
Yeah. I think
sometime.
Pretty much. Hey, Steve, I was just going to say, there might be a fellow PC gamer right there, Endgame13. He said, and if they're thinking of porting it to a console, never mind. I'd also like to see if Ubisoft is still planning on releasing I Am Alive. Now, I Am Alive, and I responded in the forums on this. I do know that is still being worked on. Ubisoft actually put a press release out not too long ago saying it was still being worked on. But the curious thing about that, it was now being listed as a downloadable title.
Yeah. So, I asked about that a few months. Yeah.
So,
episodic or?
Your guess is as good as ours right about now. But it certainly is still coming. In what form or fashion, we don't really know other than the fact that it'll be downloadable.
Well, I think that you let go of your Diablo 3 interest for a while and concentrate. I guess June is Torchlight 2, I think. So concentrate on that for now. And that will let the Diablo 3 anger just rinse to the back of your head and you'll forget about it.
And it's got co-op.
Yes, yeah, online co-op, yes.
Yep. Now, of course, as you're listening to this podcast that you downloaded on Wednesday, you could also be downloading the new Dungeons & Dragons Daggerdale. just kind of pimp that out one more time.
Yeah.
All right, emails. Daniel wrote us. Daniel Atchison. Again, Daniel, I'll always say it wrong, and I'll keep saying it just because I can. Says, hi, guys. First off, last week's podcast was boring because it was Sony-centric.
He's not going to like this one, is he?
No, probably not.
No.
He says, and the new map pack for Black Ops, if you don't have it and you're not in the U.S., you can't get it, which kind of sucks, which is really odd. I don't understand that, but maybe they just had the exclusivity on it in the U.S. and they have to wait to publish it to the rest of the world when it comes out for the PS3. I don't know. That, again, has me a little confused, but okay. Maybe it's because you're in the land that doesn't allow mature games. Love you, Daniel. All right. He says, haven't been playing anything else really. Got Brink, getting ready to send it back. It's not a game you could sit for hours and play. Played some Forza just to see the times everyone was making on the Inner Community Championship. I just have to say people need to practice a little more. He certainly is not talking about my performance. He's talking about everybody else but me. He says, yes, BOV is Blow Off Valve. We thought it was many things other than Blow Off Valve for quite a while. He says, what are the next games you guys are going to get that many people aren't looking at getting? So What's next on your radar that you think other people may not be considering? Steve?
I guess Ocarina of Time 3D doesn't fall into that category.
It does in this community.
Yeah, well, I mean, I mean, I guess my answer would probably have to be, and this is a little bit of a cheat, but, you know, The Witcher 2, I think.
Okay. I mean, it is a cheap answer in that you just got it, but
yeah,
that's lied.
Yeah. Let that there's like me and three other people playing it, I think.
That's true. That is true. Rich, what do you think?
I suppose there'll be a following for it, but the one that I'm probably most excited about that not many people are talking about for some reason now, and it seems to have gone off the radar, is Rage. Not many people talking about it, not seeing much in the press about it, but that's the one that I'm looking forward to now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, that definitely is, it's a great looking game. Gosh, for me, I think the one, and I think it's going to get a lot more hype as probably once E3 hits. I think this game is going to go off the charts in terms of hype. But it's Deus Ex Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
I think this game is going to blow people away, and it's one of those games that nobody's talking about. And I don't know if it's just because it has an August release date, but I'm really excited for it, and it definitely has my interest. And I thought
you were going to say Daggerdale.
I thought about saying Daggerdale, but that was the cheap answer because it's going to be downloaded at midnight. All right, Rich, I'm going to pass over the next email, Mr. David Brown, to you.
Yes, I was a bit wary about this because I noticed two tweets where he was saying, I've got to send you an email. And then the next one that I had from him was 3 hours later and it said, I've sent the email. So I thought, God, we've got another wall of text coming. But no, we haven't. So here we go. David the Alien, David Brown. Good evening, gents. Been playing some shit games due to the GamerScore challenge. Marcanics is put together. Also been playing some L.A. Noire. Fantastic game and a lot of fun. F1 2010, FIFA 11. Can I just say as well, how much blanket coverage is L.A. Noire got, not only on your friends list when you open up you turn your Xbox on, but also on Twitter? Never heard so much tweeting in my life about a game. But yeah, I'm sure it's quite a handicap as well for anybody in this GamerScore challenge. So if they've picked up L.A. Noire, it's a big distraction because they can't get the old Megamind out and stuff like that. Anyway,
yeah, and I would like to throw out the Chivos don't come easy in that game. They trickle out slowly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, so he's also been on F1 2010, FIFA 11, Shift 2, which they just had a play date on, and that was on Saturday. Props to Andy, Marcanix, and Xtal, who has had his name changed to Knife Party 2381, which is true. He's changed his Twitter account as well. I think we have had a great time. Myself, Marcanix, and Knife Party 2381 played a little Bulletstorm afterwards. Anarchy Mode, yeah, great stuff. Looking forward to picking up Dirt 3 tonight and giving it a bash. Metacritic has given it 88. That's terrible mispronunciation. From 27 reviews, and again, community-wise, Dirt 3 seems to be creating a bit of a ruckus. A lot of guys from the community are jumping on it and loving it.
It's coming to me in Gamefly. So
yeah, that's good. So the review's not too shabby. If anything, like first and second, you should be cracking time. Dirt 3 play date is this Saturday coming. So check the forums and the calendar for info. He moved on to say, E3, Microsoft would expect some info on how Skype is going to be integrated with the 360 and Kinect and what they have in store for the console and maybe some clarification on 3D. If it's a go or not, I can't see them pushing it. I think it's a wise move not to at this point as well. Shout out to all of you, Rabbit Scotsman, who as of last week, streams footage live via Justin TV, which he did plug a bit. He's been watching him on Minecraft last night for about an hour. Interesting to me, as I've never paid any attention to Minecraft. I've got it, and I've not been on it for a long time, but it is a cracking bit of fun. I can't put it in the context of gaming, really. Except for when the sun goes down, you're getting chased by zombies and spiders. anyway, so he was intrigued by it all. Rabid Gaming is the channel. Check it out. He has all sorts of ideas and plans. So we will be interested to see over the next few weeks and months how it evolves. Have a great show, David.
I'm going to go buy Minecraft and just go into Rabid Scotsman's world and ruin everything.
You're going to shovel everything out right underneath him.
Pretty much.
Underneath, yeah, he's doing that. He built that new PC, so he's been streaming a lot of stuff. And I actually have some pressing matters coming up here pretty soon. And Rabid Gaming may take the place of the main show. I'll probably still be doing Pixel Tracks and things like that. But it may take the place of the main show for a while. I'm not sure. And GamerCorp's sort of on the decline. We don't know where that's at. And I think we may be switching over to Justin TV for live broadcasts, I think. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. So there you go. Just so you know.
Yeah.
Mate, community play dates. Since Chris is not here, he's off killing the UPS guys. Play dates. So Friday night, it's kind of the unofficial co-op night for gaming. Friday Night Racing has kind of been sidebarred since it fell off a little bit. And games like Brink kind of came along, and the community wanted to be able to play other things. So it's kind of been tagged as the unofficial play night for co-op. And it can be anything at this point. So just keep an eye out. Just jump on Friday night. We're all on there.
Yeah, Greg's going to be winding it up for Daggerdale. Daggerdale.
I might have to come in on that one, maybe.
See? Daggerdale. Saturday night, Dirt 3, 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon PST. Dirt 3, a little racing. The second race of the Intercommunity Forza 3 Championship against those scallywags from LAG. That's taking place at 9 p.m. PST. 12 p.m. Eastern, and some early-ass time in the U.K.
Scally lag,
I like it.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, the F1 Championship, of course, continues on rounds 13 and 14, Marina Bay and Suzuka. A little shout-out to the veteran gamers, since, they're friends of the show. We know they're having a play date on Sunday. We just don't know what it is because Chinny couldn't be bothered to tell us.
There is discussions up on the forums on Veteran Gamers about setting up a PS3 playdate, possibly this week, stroke next week. So, I've heard rumblings about that.
Alrighty. Birthdays. Got quite a few birthdays this week. So, happy birthday to the following: Desert Rat 131, Gordian Knight, Bagum Assassin, Dave Dog, and Pilgrim, and Impaired.
Can I just say real quick that I am happy to hear the voice of Dave Dog again?
I am ecstatic to hear the voice of Dave Dog.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, happy birthday, guys.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
And gals, possibly.
Possibly gals, sure.
Happy birthday. Yeah. Dave Dog, you old bastard.
New members. Welcome some new members. We've got KG Scarecrow, and probably my favorite name I've seen on the forum boards, Black Pudding Muncher.
No, that just sounds nasty, man.
I know. And Womble MK3. Welcome to all of you, and enjoy the forums. We are nice people, we promise. All right, it brings us to the closing notes. iTunes reviews, I swear to God, next week I will check. I have to update, apparently, my iTunes player because it wouldn't show me the actual reviews.
Why do you lull your listeners with these falsities?
I know, I do. It's the false promise. just like some of the companies we know. Okay, emailing the show. If you want to email us, you're going to just simply send an email to ocpodcast@gmail.com. That's ocpodcast. You know the rest, gmail.com. Rich, if they're going to tweet us, not you, tweet us, the show, how would they go about doing that?
It would be at OC with the underscorings podcast. Why is that funny?
It's somehow the underscorings podcast just makes me think that they're going to underscore the whole thing. I don't know. Anyway, moving on. Closing comments. Rich, shout out.
If you don't know, you don't deserve to contact us.
Rich, shout outs. Start them up.
Shout outs. Yes. Cognitio last night for giving it some on the old Black Ops. Thoroughly enjoyed that. Snoop Doggy Dog, who was over here in the UK and doing numerous interviews and making me laugh with hilarity on Radio 1 today, made me giggle. And also somebody else that made me giggle, I was going through a lot of serious work stuff this morning around about 10 a.m. And I got a phone call on my mobile, and it was none other than the Ugandan guy off Phonejacker, who was offering he needed my bank sort code and so on. And
excellent.
20,000 Ugandan dollars. Yeah. So I got that call, and it was none other than Richard Webster telling me that I had 5 prostitutes stuck in my bank account, and to release them, I needed to give him my bank sort code and everything. And I tell you what, he's got that impression off to a T. And I want a recording sending into the show because we need to play it. So, Rich, you have me pissing my pants at work. A lot of people wondering what the fuck was going on. But, yeah, cheers for that, mate. Very funny. Great stuff. So what about you then, Mr. Conger? Shout out?
Well, for me, I want to shout you guys out and thank you for bringing me on. And I'm glad we could talk a little Nintendo stuff. So everybody can check me out sort of at thegamesman.com. And if you're downloading this show at the earliest time possible on Thursday, that evening, you can come and listen to the live airing of, episode 5 of season 1 of Pixel Tracks, the music trivia show. So, you know, we do prizes and things for every 6 episodes, but, so thank you guys for allowing me to spread the gospel of Nintendo. And I'd really like to shout out the whole of Gaming for the Elderly. I feel so guilty. I'm so busy that I don't have a lot of time to spend on the actual message boards themselves. But G4TE, bunch of great people. And if you're listening to this and you are not a part of the community already, that's where you need to go, g4te.com. So, and especially Greasy Fish Lips, Marty, I told you I'd give you a shout out. So there you go, sir. And you know what? While you're at it, go give the Play Vault a listen too. So Greg, how about you?
Now that you just thanked the entire world,
I know.
I don't really have anything left to thank. I'm going to give a shout out actually to two shows on HBO. And if you haven't seen Game of Thrones, you need to go see Game of Thrones. It is
I know.
Awesome, awesome series, and definitely worthy of your viewing time. Also, a movie that just came out. It's an HBO movie called Too Big to Fail. And it's not your typical movie. I mean, I shouldn't say it's not your typical movie. It is a movie. But it's about the Wall Street collapse and basically what led us into the recession that we're in and how incredibly severe it was. And as your average person, you know, you don't get the – all the little, you know, the ins and outs of what was going on and the backroom deals that were being worked. And it was just completely fascinating to see and hear what was being done from the perspective of the Secretary of Treasury for the United States, trying to keep everything under control and trying to work out these deals to save some of these huge financial institutions that, in essence, we're not just throwing the United States into turmoil, but throwing the entire world potentially into turmoil. is a great movie and a lot of big name actors. Highly recommend it. You know, if you're into big action flicks with guns and blood, definitely not your kind of movie. But if you enjoy a good drama about financial dealings and history, so to speak, this is definitely a good one to watch.
Do you think a couple of years from now that HBO will do a special on the PSN collapse? I'll look forward to that.
You know what? You never know, because that potentially could make for great TV. I mean, you know, just imagine those poor bastards at, you know, the PSN network that were working that day, and they start seeing all these little bells and whistles going off, and they're thinking, oh, shit.
As long as they don't quote anybody calling anonymous, quote unquote, hacktivists.
Yeah.
Ugh. Gag.
And then you have to wonder, did they know, but everybody was just too afraid to actually pull the plug until somebody said, no, pull the plug.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see it working. Geek Sheet movie.
Totally.
Yeah. Social Network, get Justin Timberlake in there. He could be Geo Watts. Job done.
So that's pretty much going to wrap up the show. Now, I don't have a traditional quote this week. This actually is a quote just from this past inter-community Forza Racing series. And it's especially related to friends of the show, DGA93, Daniel, and Mr. Betty Bear. And that quote is this. It's just a nudge. That's it. We're done. We're out of here.
Nintendo Wii.
Tragic. Well, maybe when you move into the new house, you'll be able to go out and buy a shiny brand new Nintendo console.
I've already been promised a Kinect.
That would keep me from moving.
Wow.
Mailcat, no. We've got gay.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because
is that where all of the accusations are coming from?
He sticks his paws in my face and just looks at me as if he wants to fuck me. Yes. It's gay. We call it. You know what we call him? We call him Fag Cat.
Oh, man.
Oh, shit. Between L.A. Noir and the Modern Warfare 3 discussion, I know Steve and I dominated a little bit in terms of conversation.
Who's to say I might be nominated?
This is true. Let's get your wife on the phone. All right.
Three.
Here we go.
Gimped.
What?
I said re.
Gimped? Rocked. Oh, no. Put the gimp mask away. Where's the cat?
Yeah. I can't talk with no poor ball in my mouth.